publications had you as playing for the Colt Swallows in the Japanese League in 89, and then the Senior Professional Baseball League in 1990 before that folded. Did you play in these leagues, and can you tell us about that?
I played in Japan, and I played in the Senior Baseball. Yes, sir.
What was it like playing in Japan?
I loved it. It was one of the greatest times I ever had. Being in a different country, had my whole family there, you know, and they got to be introduced to a new culture, and the people over there enjoyed baseball, loved baseball, and heck yeah, if they said something bad about me, I couldn't understand it anyway.
Did they treat pitchers any different?
They treated Americans different, without a doubt. You know, so we were on our own programs over there, so we could do pretty much our own programs and do things in different ways, for sure. When we were, you know, we were treated differently. They treated players. We stayed in different hotels than they did, you know, from the team. We never stayed with the team. They stayed in one hotel. We stayed in another hotel.
Wow.
So we were, you know, it was tough, too, in a way that, you know, we had one American on the team, and that was Larry Parrish. And so you only had one guy you could talk to,
yeah.
You know, another American, because the other guys didn't speak any English, my Japanese teammates. And then, you know, the coaches, when he come out to tell you something, you didn't know what the heck he was saying. So, I mean, it was like, you know, it was fun and weird, kind of.
And it's kind of, you know, the opposite of, you know, for the Jap players like Ichiro over here. It's
They have their own interpreter on the bench and
yep.
Entourage and everything like that. So it's definitely a different thinking today.
What about the Senior Professional League? What do you remember about that?
I mean,
what about the Senior Professional Baseball League? What do you remember about that?
It's, my phone's about to die, but in the senior league was you had to be 35 or years of age or older. We had one team here in Arizona, the rest of the teams were in Florida, so we had to go over there and play all the time. And we opened up Thanksgiving Day over there. It was kind of a weird. It was fun. It was baseball. I enjoy playing the game of baseball. So I didn't care, you know, if I was pitching against little leaguers, and people say, well, that's probably the only people you could still get out, and that's probably right. But, hey, as long as I had a uniform on and a ball in my hand, I'm a happy camper. And still this day, I still enjoy throwing batting practice. My son plays with the first-round pick by the Mets last year, so I get to throw to him all the time and watch him throw. So I get to still throw a lot to him and see him, help him progress. And so I had a great time.
Okay. I just had a few more questions, Ron.
I got to go home right this second. Can you call me back in about 20 minutes? Because my phone is completely dead.
20 minutes?
Hey, call me back in 20 minutes, and I'm going to head home and get my phone on charge.
That would be great.
All right. Give me a holler in about 20 minutes, and I'll go get my phone on charge.
Okay, so I call you on this number, or...
I just need to plug it in. It's about dead.
Okay, I'll call you back then. Thank you so much, Ron. Talk
to you
in a bit.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
There's a couple other things I ran across on the internet, Ron, that I wanted to ask you about. One of them was, it was reported that during the 81 baseball strike, you worked as a waiter, but they had listed it at the Hyatt Regency in Kansas City. And go ahead.
I was at Honor and Rescue on 85th and 3rd in New York City.
I see. Was there any truth to that story then, that you were involved in the rescue when those two walkways collapsed in Kansas City?
No.
Okay. Somebody got their facts wrong there, it looks like.
I don't even know who it was. I went to Kansas City when we played Kansas City, and I don't know anything about any type of rescue in Kansas City.
Okay. I ran across a
baseball strike anyway.
I'm sorry?
Not during the baseball strike anyway. I don't know what they were commenting on, but no.
Yeah, that was back when the Hyatt Regency had those walkways collapse and about 113 people were killed.
No, I wasn't involved with that one.
Yeah. I saw, well, they had you credited for work.
Probably the Minnesota Riders would have probably liked the thought I did.
Actually, they were crediting you for being involved in the rescue efforts.
I'm surprised. They probably were crediting me for collapsing.
For causing it, huh? Yeah. I saw another story in a book called Haunted Baseball, Ghosts, Curses, Legends, and Other Eerie Events was the title. And it talked about an unusual house that you and Jerry Nairn shared in a place called Dumont, New Jersey. Do you remember that?
Oh, without a doubt.
Could you share that story with our listeners?
It was back in 78, 79. We had, like I told you, minimum wage around 17,000, and we had no money to live in the city or stay anywhere. So Catfish Hunter knew a realtor in New Jersey, and they were going to demolish this house because they'd already been condemned. And says, we didn't have any electricity or anything. All it was a house, so that's what we lived in. And so we didn't have water or electricity. So all we did was slept in it every night. Hello?
Yes, sir.
It was just spooky, you know. It was definitely... Definitely some haunted things happened to us, for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story about, you know, the fire and then the window flying open and so forth.
Yeah, the upstairs window, was every time we'd go upstairs, would just fly open and the wind would blow through it. And so after that happened about three or four times, at different times, Jerry and Aaron and I, we moved all our stuff downstairs. We moved it all downstairs just so that we never went back upstairs again.
You know, you picture the life of professional baseball players as a little bit more glamorous than that.
Yeah, we cooked on a... we went to a sporting goods store and bought a three-burner stove, so that's what we cooked on. We had... That's what we use for heat and our cooking. We had a cooler that we stored our food in a cooler, and just a regular old cooler. And then, you know, we had candles for our lights and lanterns, and that's what we used. It's still on the front door with the old skeleton key.
Wow.
That was the lock on the front door, was a, you know, the old skeleton key looking thing. That was on the that was still the door. That our key to open our door was a skeleton key.
Interesting, that's for sure. But it's kind of fun to hear about those kind of things. And
yeah, we had, you know, it was all that. You know, we would hear things, windows would come open. It sounds like a story, but you can ask Jerry. That was a spooky time.
Yep. I see. I understand that your son was drafted by the Mets as the 18th overall pick in 2008. How's he doing in his quest to be a big leaguer like his dad?
Well, he's in the Arizona Fall League here, doing really well right now, and had a great year in Double-A this year, which is in Binghamton, New York. Had a great year there. He made the USA Olympic team and went over to Italy and won the gold medal against Cuba this year. So he's doing well.
Really? So he was on that team, huh?
Correct.
Well, that sounds good. How do you see him as a major leaguer? Who would you compare him to?
Probably, you know, Ken Herbeck, John Olderup.
Okay.
Great defensive first baseman. Not going to steal a lot of bases for you. I predict, you know, like Herbeck, you know, didn't hit that many home runs in the big leagues. I mean, he has a share, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I think Herbeck was, probably average probably 20 some odd a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he'll average, if what I see, it's only my judgment. I see he'll have a ton of doubles. He'll be up there in the league leaders in doubles and hit about 20 home runs a year.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty good. That must make you pretty proud to see him playing.
It's very proud to see to have a son follow in your footsteps. Like I tell my wife, we have three kids, and they're all the same to us. We're not any more proud of him than we are of the other ones, just in a different way. That's all.
Absolutely. Do you follow baseball today, Ron?
No, I really don't. I couldn't tell you from Adam who's playing on who and what. I tell you who's in the World Series today, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I follow. I couldn't tell you. When I went up and watched the Twins, I only had heard of maybe two guys, maybe three guys. The first baseman, the catcher, and their short man is about the only guy that I'd even heard of.
Sure.
Not that they are not, don't say that in a wrong way, that they, I just don't follow the game, I just never paid attention. Even though there's, when I got up there, who was it, what's his name, Tudley, what was the first baseman that took over, at the end of the year, took over for the first baseman?
Oh, Kadire? Okay.
Kadire, that's what
yeah.
I said.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, I didn't realize he had, he had 20 some odd home runs or 20 or 30 home runs last year, 20 this year. So, I didn't even know that just because I just don't follow. One, I don't follow the Twins that much, but I don't follow anybody that much, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
The Diamondbacks I know because I live in Arizona. We watch their games quite regularly, but the Twins are on national TV like they've always been, very, very, very not often.
Yep, I agree with that. That's for sure. But they got some good players. But
oh no, they got great players. No, I didn't mean it that way.
No. I didn't take it that way.
We don't see them on TV here in Arizona, so we don't get to see them on TV. They don't put the Twins on national TV that often.
Yeah.
So every day we get our Diamondbacks here. So I've become more of a, growing up being here for the last, we've been here almost 20 years now, I guess, following the Diamondbacks here the last, I guess the Diamondbacks have been here about 12 years, I guess. So following them and seeing them and reading about them in the paper more than anybody. So, I know a lot more about the Diamondbacks than anything.
Yeah, and it's it's nice. It's a nice stadium there. I got to go to a couple games there when I was down there for work. But you'll have to get up here when they open the new Target Field and enjoy outdoor baseball here in Minnesota again.
Yeah, but I better go in July.
That's right. That's right. But
I think people are gonna. As we took a tour of the field, it was gorgeous. The stadium was gorgeous. The field, the things they've done for the heaters and the drainage and everything. But I still think people are going to miss sitting in the dome in a nice, cozy comfort, no rain on them. I think Minnesota made a mistake a little bit by not putting a retractable roof type thing on that place. For April and September. I don't know. I'm not up there right now, but what's the weather going to be like up there November 6th, the last day of the World Series?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. We have...
And that's not the Twins' fault. That's baseball's fault. Major League Baseball's fault more than the Twins' fault. So, there's no reason for teams to be playing November 6th anywhere in baseball. They make it too long. They make it this. They make it that. It's not a good scenario to be. I mean, how many? A couple games have already been rained out at Yankee Stadium, postponed. Regardless of what anybody says, baseball's not a very good sport when it's 30 degrees. The hitters don't pitch as well. The pitchers don't pitch as well. I mean, the players don't move as well. It's just too cold to be playing in November.
Yeah, so it's like trying to go out and golf at this time of the year up here. It's really tough. You know, you got to wear extra clothing.
You should go ice fishing in November instead of playing baseball.
Yeah, it's, you know, my wife and I have talked about that. We have season tickets for the Twins, and, you know, we have a 20-game plan and whatnot that we're part of, and, you know, we've been at the Dome all the time, and it's just, you know, it's nice in there for that 68 or 70 degrees when it's cold and wet out, but on those beautiful days, you know, you wish you could be outside, so.
That's why you need the retractable roof. That's why that would have made it a lot better, the retractable roof, you know. I mean, you know, you're going to have some days that, you know, to me, I think it's going to hurt attendance because of the Dome. I mean, not being in the Dome because, you know, me not knowing, of course, because I'm not part of the, you know, the marketing plan that's been doing an unbelievable job there in Minnesota for the last 15 years. But, you know, all the South Dakota boys, North Dakota boys that would come over, you know, from Iowa, you know, from Iowa would come on in there and they would bust them in there. And when I was there, they had the Wednesday day games and they'd be just loaded with buses. Well, you know, and people were coming, you know, they had bus trips coming in from, like I said, North and South Dakota. Well, I don't believe those people will come as often.
Yeah, you know, that right now they knew they could watch a game or two or whatever.
Well, I mean, if I lived in North or South Dakota and they said the chances of rain are 40-50% and at game time and it's a 50-50 about playing the game, well, I'd say, you know, I'd tell my wife and say, honey, our kids, hey, we're not going to take a 3 or 4 hour, I don't even remember how far it was, but a 3 or 4 hour bus ride to go for a rain out.
Yep, I agree with you. It's,
and then turn around and drive back 3 or 4 hours. We ain't going to do that today.
Yep. No.
Yep. Well, another day, but we ain't going today. So I think if I don't know how much of attendance those people were, you know, if they were even a fraction of the, that's why I say I'm not in the marketing end of it, but I couldn't tell you if that's just a fraction of their market or if that was a pretty good, you know, if that was 10% of their market or 20% of their market. I don't know what that factor of South Dakota, North Dakota, and Iowa people, but I guarantee you they're going to lose some of those people from not being able to come up there.
Yeah, well, with the Dome Stadium here since 82, you know, there's a whole generation that have never seen or been through a rainout or anything like that.
You know, it's okay to be, drinking beer and stuff and eating brats for a football game and getting ready to go to it, but, you know, and they haven't even done that in the last 18, 19, or 30 some odd years. How long has the Dome been there? 28 years?
Since 82, yeah.
So whatever every year that is, without counting, but how many years is that? 20 some odd years?
Yeah.
28 years?
27, 28 years.
27, 28 years. So even football fans are not even going to be used to it. But I mean, I don't mind sitting in the stands watching a football game outside. But they're not even going to play football there, so that's one thing. I think football should be outside for sure.
Absolutely.
Because I don't mind bundling up and cooking brats and tailgating because we do that here in Arizona.
Yeah.
But it's not cold, of course.
No.
I wish it was cooler. No, there's going to be some rain outs and rain delays that, you know, fans are going to go, hey, you know what? It's just raining at 7 and we're not going to play to 8:30. Well, you know what? Honey, you know, we got 3 kids. We got to get them home to school. So let's go on home.
Yeah.
So, you know, they might have still bought a ticket, but they're not going to be eating hot dogs and hamburgers and popcorn. And that's where they make a lot of their money.
Sure. Do you have any interest in getting back into professional baseball in some capacity at this point in your life?
You know, I thought about that, so I'll leave that as a maybe. I'm probably on the maybe of 90% not. You know, it would have to be something real interesting for me as far as I would be able to do that. You know, like we have 3 children, so We try to go around, see them, and if a night's playing, we'll probably try to go out and watch them play a little bit more. You know, and getting back into the baseball world would definitely hinder my fishing and seeing my son play. So, you know, because I love to fish all the time, and so having a real job would make that pretty tough.
Fishing.
But I think I have a lot to offer to kids. I work with kids. Over the last 20 years, we've done thousands and thousands and thousands of lessons here in Arizona. I own the baseball store. I throw batting cages. I do lessons at. So, and we still coach teams. We just got back yesterday, from Jupiter, Florida, where we took 18 kids down to Jupiter to a national showcase that was probably the best showcase in all of America down there in Jupiter. There's literally 1,000 colleges and scouts there. There's 1,000. Yeah, there's 12 fields going on, and it's amazing. There'll be 200 or 300 colleges and scouts on each field watching games. It's just phenomenal.
Wow, and that was going to be my next question. Is what are you doing today?
Well, I own a batting cage. I used to own my own baseball store here, which I sold about 3 years ago, and we did real well in that, and we sold that. You know, we opened it up because there wasn't any baseball stores here in Arizona. For just baseball, where you could tell, because baseball played in Arizona year round.
Right.
And so here, you know, like the Kmart's or Walmart's or Targets and stuff like that, they had baseball stuff in there. But come May, they took it out and put the fishing equipment in, or come July, they put the hunting equipment in and took out the baseball stuff. Whatever. Well, they did the same thing here. They would take out all the baseball. So, well, come June, we couldn't buy a glove, a ball, a bat. We couldn't get anything.
Wow.
So, but our kids are playing all June through, well, they play 12 months out here, but we really start playing. The Little League got over with at the middle of June. So then travel ball started from June, July, August, September, October, November, and December. And then you start the Little League season again over in February. So it was like, okay, you know, we needed gloves and balls and stuff to be able to do that. So a partner of mine, a friend of mine, and I, we opened up and we called it the Big League Dugout. It's still working today. It's still doing the same as it did 10 years ago when we opened up. But like I said, we sold that 2.5-3 years ago.
Okay, now you have some batting cages, huh?
Well, I've had those also for 12 years also, so yes, I'm still running my, I don't run them, I've had my daughter run them, my children have worked at them, and then occasionally my wife and I will work at them when we can't get people to, you know, when they're out of town and
sure. Doing
things, so we stay up there, and that's where I do all my lessons. I do about probably 3 to 5 lessons a day up there. And that's where I do a lot of my lessons, and people coming in, and then they rent the cages for the team practices. So we've been doing that now for 12 years also.
And that's something that you really enjoy doing.
Well, I enjoy, like I told you before, when I played in Japan and played in the senior league, hey, I had a uniform on, I had a glove on, a glove on my hand and a ball in my hand, I could still pitch. Now I can't pitch anymore, but I can give back to the community a little bit of what I've done throughout my, you know, from playing from high school to college to minor leagues to the big leagues. My experience, I can give back to the kids. I don't see Major League Baseball players doing that today. We're the guys of my era in the mid-50s right now are the last of the Mohicans that are giving back to the community of their baseball knowledge. You won't see, you know, for an example, like a Ken Herbeck. How many lessons has he given?
Zero.
Right. Or Roy Smalley. I mean, anybody that played the game, you know, after us, made a whole lot of money. We made great money, don't get me wrong, but they made it. They're out, you know, Herbeck's doing his fishing show that got canceled this year. Sorry, it got canceled. You know, I mean, that was a great thing for him. But, you know, and yeah, you might, and you have those youth clinics that Minnesota does, which is a great deal in the Minneapolis area. And that helps the kid a day here and a day there. But how many guys are going back and coaching Little League and T-ball, farm, majors, all that through Little League? They're not out there doing that. And that's not a knock on them. It's just they're not doing it. So, you know, we're, you know, there's some guys in my era here that are still the Kenny Phelps, Dax Jones, Guy Soulards, Lou Klumchucks of the world, Bob Lacy, guys that played in the 60s, 70s, and the 80s. Are still, you know, out there help coaching kids and giving back lessons to them.
That's great. That's really a wonderful thing to do, and I appreciate that people like you do those kind of things for the kids.
Well, eventually, kids never going to, and, you know, the next probably, I'm only going to be able to do this another probably 10 years or so, probably. You know, I think I'm 54. I don't even care. But I'll probably do this for 7, 8, 10 years, who knows. But, you know, I played over, you know, 10 seasons in the big league. And I don't think anybody that's going to play, you might get a guy that can come up in September that'll start doing a few lessons here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to have the 10 to 12 to 15 year vets giving lessons anymore.
No, you just don't see them. And
well, they're out golfing, they're out doing TV shows, they're out GMing, they're doing things, don't get me wrong, but they're not helping the youth of America.
Yeah, getting more baseball players. It just seems like they go into other sports versus baseball.
Well, that's probably true a little bit. You know, I think, you know, baseball is still pretty good, but we are losing a lot to other countries because we're not giving back to our youth in baseball. We're not, you know, I remember me growing up, I had Red Murph, which was my uncle that signed Nolan Ryan. He played a couple years in the big league. You know, him helping out and coaching. A guy named Red Munger that won a World Series game in 54 and 55, one of those years, 53, for the St. Louis Cardinals. He pitched and won a game in the World Series. A guy named Tommy Fullen that pitched for the Houston Astros. Jerry Snyder that played as a shortstop for the Washington Senators. These are all the guys that were in my little league.
Wow.
That were coaching. These guys were in my little league coaching. And so that's why in my little league, which only lasted 4 or 5 years of my little league, we had three guys that played Major League Baseball out of my little league.
That's incredible.
Myself coaching here in Arizona, a guy named Kenny Phelps, Robin Yount, Floyd Bannister, Guy Soulards I named, J.D. Sluder, Dax Jones, gosh, I forget, and there's more I'm missing right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
They all coached the last 10 or 12 years here in Little League.
No, that's great. So, that's really...
And so they all coached in Little League, and now we have... Probably in the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to have probably 6 or 7 guys from our little leagues in the major leagues.
Boy, that's pretty amazing.
Well, amazing. It's amazing because the numbers I gave you, who was in my little league, we got 3 major leaguers. We had like all the names I just gave you. We're going to have, and then like I say, in the next 5 or 6 years, hopefully my son's one of them. That they're going to be in the major league. Floyd already has his son pitching in the major league.
Mm-hmm.
Ike, I think, is going to play in the major league. We have Brandon Woods that plays for the Anaheim Angels. He's in the major leagues right now. We have Lewis Morrison that's catching for the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. We have Beam that pitched for the Yankees, and I think he's with Cleveland now. He's in the big league. So, I mean, I'm missing a couple of those guys. So these guys all came through our little league system.
Wow. Boy, is Woods ever going to get a chance out in with the Angels?
Well, you know, I hope he does. He's a great player. He's a great kid, and he deserves more of a shot than he's been getting.
Yep.
But eventually, he probably will get that shot. But, I mean, if the worst is that he does, is all he's done, he's a major leaguer.
Yeah.
He's already played in the major league. So, I mean, and then, you know, we have three or four guys right now that are on the verge of being in the big leagues in the next year or two guys. So we're going to have anywhere from 10 to 12. I just follow the loan. We're going to have 10 to 12 guys that have gone through our programs here. Just in our little area of where we live in Scottsdale, our little league, that are going to play in the big leagues.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing from that smaller area to have that many players. But, you know, you guys get to play year-round.
Well, we do play year-round, correct. But there's a lot of places that get to play year-round that don't have that many kids coming through the area.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it has to do with year-round. I think it has to do with coaching.
Oh, I'm sure that makes a huge difference.
Caliber of coaching that they're getting at a young age is developing them and their abilities to go out and play, and it's really helping these kids.
You mentioned you like to fish. I was going to ask you, what do you enjoy doing for fun?
That's what I do. I fish probably about 150 days out of the year.
Ron, it's a desert out there. There's no water.
That's what everybody thinks. Everybody, when I first got out of the baseball, everybody said, Ron Davis, what's he doing now? Well, he opened up a boat rental place in Arizona. It's a desert. He owns a boat place.
Yeah. That goes to show,
We have more boats per capita here than any place in the country.
You know, and I read that. That amazed me when I read that.
So, yes, we don't. We do have, we probably have more acres of water than you, but we probably don't have as many lakes as you, but most of your lakes are not really lakes anyway, Minnesota. But we do have some main river systems, and we do have some big lakes here. And yes, we do live in a desert, and because of what we live in a desert, people want to go to the water.
Yeah. What kind of fishing do you do? Is it bass fishing?
I do primarily all bass fishing, correct.
Okay.
I mean, we have tons of trout fishing here. We probably have the greatest trout stream in North America here called Lee's Ferry, which is in the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been considered the best trout stream in North America. Hmm. So, I mean, it's a tremendous place. So we have trout fishing here. We have smallmouth bass fishing, largemouth. We have walleye fishing here in our lakes. We have the pike. We don't have muskie here, but we do have pike. And we have perch here. You know, you name it, we have every fish you got just about.
No, that's just. What about golf? You know, that's what Arizona is noted for.
I have been playing a lot more golf in the last year or so. I haven't been able to go on as many fishing trips since Isaac started at ASU and playing a lot of games, 60 games at ASU a year, and getting to the College World Series and things like that. So our family's been spending a lot of time watching him play. So, and then playing all year this year in the minor league system, we spent a lot of time watching him play in the minor league system. So our family didn't get to do as many fishing trips as we usually do this year. Because the last year, or even in the near future, we've been watching him play a little bit. So he doesn't play at 7 o'clock, so we can go golfing in the morning.
Sure.
So instead of driving somewhere to have to go fishing, that's the game. So I've been picking up the game of golf here in the last few years a little bit more, just because of ice being able to not to go. Matter of fact, my son and I are going to leave here in about 6 minutes. 10 or 12 minutes to go watch him play tonight. He's today, this afternoon, he's playing at 12:35 in the Fall League, and they're facing a pitcher I want to see, the number one pick draft this year. I think his name was Strasburg or something of that nature.
Yeah, from somewhere in California. I can't remember what college.
Yeah, so he's pitching today.
That should be fun because there was some thought by a lot of people that he was going to go straight to the majors.
Well, I think he might have if he hadn't taken so long to sign, so then he wasn't in shape, so that might have been. And this is the first time he's pitched, and I forgot. I think he's pitched a couple times. This is going to be his third time. I know it. His last outing, did he give up three home runs in one inning? Yeah, he gave up three home runs in one inning, and one of them was a granny.
Kind of rough, but...
So was he ready to pitch in the big leagues? Who's to say, say he was. That just means the kids here in the Arizona Fall League are ready for the big leagues, too. And that's the thing that people don't realize Minnesota probably doesn't realize, but the Arizona Fall League here is where there's five or six Minnesota Twins kids here.
Yep.
Right now. All 30 major league teams send five or six kids here, their best prospects, to the Arizona Fall League, and they put them on teams together. And 58% of the kids that you're watching will be in the big leagues next year.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough when I was working to travel down to Phoenix quite a bit, and I got to go to a number of Arizona Fall League games, and they're fun to go to because, to be honest, there isn't a lot of people in the stands, and you can get right there, and you can actually talk to the players, and it was fun.
And you're exactly right about that, but, you know, the greatest thing I like about it is the percentage. That 58% of every kid that plays in that's playing in the Fall League will be in the big leagues next year.
Boy, that's an amazing percentage too.
Right. 87% of all the kids that played in the Arizona Fall League make it to the big leagues sometime sooner or later.
So it looks pretty good for Ike, and I'm going to have to start following him. I didn't know he was in the Arizona Fall League this year.
Yeah, just Google Ike Davis. You can see he made. The Mets. He made the Mets Minor League Player of the Year.
Oh wow!
So he did that. He led their whole organization in doubles and home runs.
Well, they're going to need a first baseman.
Well, like they talked to him a few days ago, and they expected him to maybe be able to be that person. But like they also said. Said, you know, the New York Mets lost a lot of fan base this year because of that, as bad as they were.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to do some free agent signings and get the people interested in, you know, November, December, and January. They're going to have to do some headline making.
Sure.
So they're going to go out and get some guys that are going to be headliners. You know, to try to help bring back the fans of for the Mets fans, to try to help them. So you're going to see, see that happen, where they're going to go out and get some big names, some big name pitcher, big name hitters. Hopefully, for my sake, hopefully it's not a frontline first baseman, or if they do, maybe his name is in a trade and can go to a smaller marketplace that will allow a young man to develop a little bit and play.
Yeah, it sounds like Holiday is one of the guys that they have on their radar screen, from what I heard.
I think Holiday is on everybody's radar screen.
Lackey, maybe, from the pitching perspective. Listen,
right. And then is it the other left fielder for the St. Louis?
Yeah, that's Holiday.
That's another Holiday. Well, if they go out and get both Holidays, that would be a big splash.
Oh, yeah, they'd have to really fork over some money for that. You know, it's kind of interesting. The Mets were so bad this year. I don't know if it was the stadium, because, you know, they got that all-star third baseman in Wright, and he was terrible.
He wasn't terrible. Wright was an outstanding player this year. He hit .315. Anybody hit .315, in the major leagues is not bad.
No, no, I understand that, but I play a lot of fantasy baseball and whatnot, and
he picked up a fantasy deal because he didn't have a lot of home runs,
right.
and he didn't drive in a lot of people, and he didn't win ball games, but that doesn't mean he was a terrible ball player. His team was. For the fantasy aspect of it, because he didn't hit 35 or 40 home runs and drive in 120 RBIs, and he wouldn't be a good fantasy, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a great ball player.
Yeah, I shouldn't have stated it that way. I was looking at it from a fantasy perspective.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Fantasy perspective doesn't have anything to do with Major League Baseball.
No, the
point system, how that works. I mean, it's fun to look at, I ripped Mark Reynolds, and I probably shouldn't, but as a fantasy, Mark Reynolds probably was a great fantasy player. Hit 41, 42 home runs, drove in 100 RBIs. You would say, wow, that is a fantasy player right there. But as a team, as far as, whenever you break an all-time record, and the all-time record of strikeouts was yours, that don't make you a very good player, in my opinion. Yeah. When you set an all-time record at third base for errors, that don't make you a good player of mine either.
Yeah, he has a couple things against.
Count that on a fantasy deal. Because I don't play fantasy baseball or anything like that. But when a guy strikes out more than anybody in baseball history, and makes more errors at third base than anybody in baseball. To me, that ain't a very good ball player.
Fantasy
world, he got 110 RBIs and 42 home runs. That makes him worth $1 million in the fantasy league.
Yeah, it all depends on how you're playing and how you keep track. That's for sure.
Oh, fantasy don't win ball games.
That's true.
Major league owners don't pay you on your fantasy status.
No, they don't. Ron, I've kept you on an awful long time, and I really appreciate you spending the time with me here. I just wanted to say thank you for all your time here.
No problem, sir. I appreciate your call. I appreciate your offering me even to talk. I appreciate it, sir.